there. Take your Bibles, if you would, please, today, and open up to Psalm chapter 134 in the Word of God today. Psalm chapter 134. And as you find your place here in Psalm 134, would you please stand with me for the reading of God's Word? If your health allows you to, would you please stand with me out of respect for the Word of God? And for those of you who are visiting with us today, we've been in a series now over the last 2 months entitled A Journey in the Psalms. And we've been taking different psalms here, and what I love about the book of Psalms, it's truly, it's most applicable to our lives. It's applicable to the day and age that you and I live. Oftentimes, there are those that look at the Word of God, they look at church, they look at you and I as Christians, and think, well, it's old-fashioned, well, it's this, well, it's archaic. Can I just say, when you dive into the Word of God, what's so amazing about passage of Scripture is that it is for us living in 2021. It's for our culture. It's for you and I living in this society. It helps our families. It helps our marriages. It helps us as college students and high school students. It helps concentrate, once again, our minds on our Savior. And once again, it gives us that proof that we need. Let me put it this way. It gives us that truth that we're looking for in the day and age, that it is absolute real truth. That means this: if you're saved this morning, would you say amen? Well, how do you know you're saved? Well, see, if you're really saved, if you have a scriptural salvation, you and I know that we're saved, not because of grandma and grandpa, not because, well, I had this epiphany, not because I found a four-leaf clover, not because, well, the stars aligned. No, you and I know that we are saved. Why? Because the Bible tells us so. And the Bible is absolute truth. And in the world that you and I live, everybody wants to know what truth is. Remember, we said this several weeks ago. Pilate, he gets one question. He asked Jesus. What does he ask Jesus? What is truth? Jesus answered that question when he said, "Thy word is truth." So you and I coming in today, it's not that if you're visiting or a member, and we're going to listen to, well, Pastor Shepherd, let's see what his ideas are, or let's see what his preference is, or let's go by his standard. No, it's not the Thomas Shepherd show. You and I have the absolute authority in the Word of God. We have a foundation. We have a standard in which we can live by. And my friend, it was written by God Almighty. If you believe that, say amen. Now, we've got a baptism, and I've got a lot to say. So through the first part of this message, we are going to move a little bit quickly. I was out of the pulpit last week, so give me a little leeway. I've got a lot to say, but this psalm is action-packed. Psalm 134, would you follow along as I begin to read? Psalm 134 and verse number 1, the Bible says this: "Behold, bless ye the Lord, all ye servants of the Lord, which by night," check out the wording there, "which by night stand in the house of the Lord. Lift up your hands in the sanctuary and bless the Lord. The Lord that made heaven and earth, bless thee out of Zion." This morning I'd like to look at this passage of Scripture and preach a message entitled, "Revival is over, now what?" Revival is over, now what? Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, Lord, I do ask that you'd write these words upon our heart. Father, this song that Sarah just sang is powerful and it's moving. And Savior, I trust that we thought about the words there. That Lord, is in a day and age where most spend more time getting physically ready for church than we do spiritually, I ask, God, that you'd still move in our midst. God, I ask, Lord, that you'd give me the words to say. That, Father, nothing from behind this pulpit would be done in the flesh, but, Father, in the Spirit today. Once again, Savior, I ask, Lord, that the conviction would be upon us. Father, that where we need to be encouraged from your word today, that we'd be encouraged. Lord, no matter what stage of life we're in, no matter our age, no matter our family tree, that, Father, when we walk out that back door, we would be more like you, changed in your image, with your attributes and your attitude, and Father, what you would esteem, what you would prioritize, would that be at the forefront of our mind? Father, we do love you this morning. In your Son's holy and precious name I pray, amen. Thank you. You may be seated. We've scheduled a revival where the Mike Schrock came in and preached, I guess, six messages. And the Lord worked in a great way. Many conversations have taken place this past week as we've thought about the messages, the powerful illustrations that we heard, the altars that were full, the decisions that we made. But now as we come to April 11th, 2020, now what takes place in our life? What is it now that on a calendar we plan and we prepare and the songs are just right, the special music is there, but now that it's over, what is it that is supposed to happen? Yes, we plan, we pray, we participate, but it's almost like March Madness. It's almost like we get ready and we plan for basketball and those teams, they prepare and they set up a game plan and they come in and they play their hardest and they try to make it to the 32 teams in the Sweet 16 and then the Elite Eight and then the Final Four and then that championship game. Their eyes are on it. They're focused. It's on the calendar. It's that Monday and, man, everybody's just hyped up and ready and tuned in. And boy, it's wonderful. And maybe your team wins. Maybe your team doesn't. Maybe your bracket is busted. Whatever the case might be, we come through March Madness, but after that game is said and done, after the confetti falls, after we celebrate, that's it. It's done, and well, I guess next year we'll plan on being there once again. You know, oftentimes in Christendom, this is how we treat a revival service. We treat it as though it's just something that's on the calendar. It's something that's planned. It's something we pray for. But then after that, it's, well, back to business as usual. It's come in and get back to church. And I think sometimes, oftentimes, we're reminded in the Word of God that church is, now watch very carefully, so much more than just sitting in a pew. It's so much more than just singing a few songs or giving a tithe or listening to a sermon or trying to make it through an altar call. To be honest, we've looked at so many psalms that's pointed us back to that church is so much more than what you and I make it. And unfortunately, even in our Baptist realm, it's just become another service. It's just become something on the calendar. It is almost, if we're not careful, even as we're saved for many years, it's become just, well, a religious duty. May I remind us today that worship and praise and the sermon and the preaching is so much more than just coming in and sitting down and walking through it and getting through a schedule and walking out the back door. Friend, church is not a spectator sport. It is something that you and I ought to be passionate about. It is something that you and I ought to want to grow in. It ought to be something in our life that, watch very carefully, each and every week awakens us, awakens our spiritual senses to want to grow in Him. That's what's taking place here in Psalm chapter 134. Look at verse number 1 with me and watch what it says. It says, "Behold, bless ye the Lord, all ye servants of the Lord, which by night stand in the house of the Lord." You see, during this period of time, there would be many that would travel in and out, and their worship would take place there. And as they would go in and as they would worship together, they would get the priest involved. But many of these people, we would call them pilgrims, that would be traveling would not be able to stop during the day. It was not a set service time of we're going to start at 10:45 and we're going to be out by 11:45. We're going to hit the restaurants and we're going to feast and then go home and take a nap, Sunday afternoon nap, and we'll meet back again at 6 o'clock. That's not the way it took place. So these pilgrim bands arriving at the sanctuary call on the priest, who at the time of the evening sacrifice would unite in praising God in their name, but also in the name of the people who would come. They would use appropriate gestures, as we're going to see in verse number 2, and then they would call on God, pronouncing the Mosaic blessing. There were those that would come in and worship, and at times it couldn't take place during the day. It would have to take place at night. Look at verse number 2 with me. The Bible says this. It says, "Lift up your hands in the sanctuary and bless the Lord." Now, I don't have time to park here for very long. We saw it several weeks ago in our psalm that this was once again a scriptural type of obedience and or it was scriptural or appropriate in prayer and praise to God. I just want to park here for just a moment and say this. Once again, as Brother Schrock preached last Sunday night or Monday night, you and I cannot be scared of other religious sects and or cults that come together and put us in a box because we don't want to associate with somebody who might take the Word of God out of context and or take the Word of God too far. And so therefore, we don't want to be like them, so it scares us in putting us in this box of we can only worship this way and it can only be this, it can only be quiet, and we can't sing loud towards him, we can't praise him, we can't say amen, we can't show any type of emotion. Can I just say this? A lifting of a hand is emotional, it's scriptural, and friend, you and I as Bible believers ought not to have anyone scare us into thinking that we can't praise our God who has done so much for us. Somebody say amen right there. Praise him. The lifting of hands, well, we can't do that. That's, may I just say, friend, if somebody has a preference of this and somebody has a preference of that and we're sitting here saying, I don't know if I should do this or I don't know if I should do this, friend, it's always safe just to get back to the very Word of God and stand on the Word of God. Why? Because preferences are going to change, standards are going to change, culture changes, science changes, society changes, but friend, you and I have a God that the Bible says in Malachi, I am God, I change not. Isn't that a blessing? Amen. Now look at verse number 3. It says, the Lord that hath made heaven and earth bless thee out of Zion. One author put it like this, and I quote, the God who has the genius to create a galaxy and who has the grace to come and live among his people is surely a God who knows how to bless us. What more could we as humans ask than that? Isn't that an amazing thought? That here is the priest, they say, the Lord that hath made heaven and earth, bless thee out of Zion. What a blessing that they're asking upon God's people. In this short psalm that really, truly, it's amazing that we've just read an entire chapter in the Word of God. It's a short psalm, just simple, 3 verses. But in this passage of Scripture, I want us to concentrate on one big aspect in this passage of Scripture. There is one thought that really comes in the very first word, which in many of your Bibles this morning is in all capitalized letters. It's all capitalized. They're all big. Capital B, capital E, capital H, capital O, capital L, capital D. The word here is behold. That means in our English language, their eyes were open to what is happening instead of sleeping through it. Their senses and their spiritual senses are awake. Yes, they are awake physically. Yes, this is taking place at night, the night watch. This is when the stars are at their brightest. We comprehend that, but they are leading a worship service here. They are singing and praying to God Almighty. They had their senses awakened. Now watch very carefully. You see, in 2021, you and I are living in the great falling away. In the dispensational period that you and I are living in, we often heard our grandparents talking about a day and age that was going to come. And this day and age was going to come because this passage of Scripture and this passage of Scripture and this passage of Scripture, whether it be Daniel or whether it be the book of Timothy or whether it be Revelation, all of these things are going to take place. Friend, may I just say it like this? This ought to excite us. If you're not saved this morning, this ought to scare you. But you and I are living in the very last of last days. For me, that's kind of exciting. Now, I love life, and I love Crosspoint, and I'm looking forward to serving the Lord if he didn't come back for another 30, 40 years here. But let's just be honest. He could come back in another 30 or 40 seconds. He could. I know we concentrate here in America on all the little nuances and, you know, all of our little Facebook battles and this and that. And, oh, yeah, God's coming back because, you know, COVID-19 and because this vaccine's better than this vaccine or no mask or this mask. We concentrate on all these little things that we're forgetting that, look, the Middle East and everything that's taking place around the globe is aligning perfectly with the very word of God that was written thousands of years ago. It's 100% correct. And you know what? Everything is aligning here. Here's where everything's aligning towards. The trumpet is going to sound very soon. I mean, how cool is that? And it's amazing. Now, Mike Schrock, I think he could be that angel up there that blew that trumpet. Because I'm telling you, I'm pretty sure all of Marion County could hear that trumpet. It was so loud. But can I just tell you, the trump's going to sound, and it's not going to be Brother Schrock. It's going to be God, and when it blows, my friend, you and I are going to be called up out of here. How many are looking forward to that day? Say amen. Well, what a day that is going to be. But it hasn't happened yet. So that means you and I have to be awake. This last week, we were awake. This last week, our senses were in tune with God. The culture that we're living in, friend, is actually opposite of the spiritual sense that we're talking about today. You see, in the culture that you and I now live in, everybody wants to be quote-unquote or hashtag woke. It's amazing that our culture is woke, but our church slumbers on. It's why the psalmist said it this way, O God, awaken thy people. Why? Because our senses are woke, and boy, I'm just telling you, boy, we're woke to this, or we're woke to this, and this person's lives matters, and this person's lives matters, and boy, I've been woke too, and this and that, and we've dealt with this, and our passage of scripture on Wednesday nights, but can I just put it this way, friend? Isn't it amazing that the whole world here in our society is claiming that we are woke, and yet, friend, you and I as Christians are still concentrating on the little preference battles of today, and we've totally miss that the world thinks they're woke, and yet they are still dead in their trespasses of sin. They have not been given the gospel of Jesus Christ. And let's just put it this way, that's not the world's fault, that's our fault. It's on us. You see, this passage of scripture says, behold, they're awake, they're in tune, they're alive. That is this. Now listen, teenager, very carefully. That means this. They are not sleeping. In fact, 1 Thessalonians says it like this, therefore, let us not sleep as do others, but let us watch and be sober. How many like, you don't have to raise your hand, but just think about it. How many like a nap? Is it a nap? For some of you, like, I can't sleep. I'll just be honest with you, I like a nap. I'm not a long napper, but if I can get 20 minutes, dude, I am awesome. I am ready to go. I'm rejuvenated. I'm revived. Let's do this thing. 20 minutes, that's all I need. My wife needs about 20 hours, but we're a little bit different there. Her job's tougher than mine. Trust me, raising 5 kids. But nonetheless, we like naps. But have you ever known somebody, maybe your spouse, have you ever known somebody that is a deep sleeper? Got anybody in your family like that? Like when they sleep, you can't wake them up. Every parent in here is looking at their teenager like, yeah, we got a deep sleeper. Takes 8 alarms and 4 kicks to the face before they get up. I'm just kidding, okay? No social services called. But anyways, we all know somebody that is hard to wake up. Now, I did not think, honestly, growing up that I was a deep sleeper. But we've come to realize, Kara, I'm a little bit of a deep sleeper. And I realized this. When Carrie and I were married for just a couple years, we had our oldest son, Tommy, was born. We only had one kid at that time. Boy, life was good back then. No, I'm just joking. We only had one kid, and I didn't think I was a deep sleeper, but I realized I am kind of a deep sleeper. And Tommy, as most parents do with their firstborn, he's young and probably around right at 11, 12 months of age, and he's in the bed with us. So it's me, and then it's Tommy, and then it's my wife. And I don't know what I was dreaming, but I got into, they call it the REM sleep. I got into a deep sleep. I don't know what overcame my son. He wasn't saved at the time, so he's probably a little demon-possessed. But he screamed loud. Right in my ear, loud. Now I'm in a deep sleep, and all I hear is, wah! scream right in my ear. Now, I'm just telling you, I guess it was the man inside of me, but I jumped up thinking that somebody was in the room. I jump out of bed and I start swinging. I mean, I'm just, look, I don't need guns. I got these bad boys right here. Look, I'm going at it and I'm swinging. This is pitch black. I think I'm dreaming. So here's Tommy, woo, screaming. I'm sitting here swinging. My wife, true story, sits straight up saying, what, what, what? And here's all of us. I'm swinging. Tommy's screaming. Carrie's going, what, what? Who is it? Who is it? And then finally I flipped on the light. Here's Tommy screaming. Here's my wife saying, what, what? And here I am with my fist to cups up, and I'm saying, yo, come on, bring it on. And I turned it on, we all just stared at each other. Now, no, maybe you had to be there, but I'm telling you, we laughed until we cried. And I realized, man, I was in a deep sleep. Can I just tell you, friend? There are many, although you are here today or maybe watching via live stream, that you're sleeping and you don't even realize it. See, when a person sleeps, watch very carefully, when a person sleeps physically, sleepers are out of touch with reality. They're out. You see, someone who's sleeping physically spend most of their time dreaming. You catching the drift? You see, sleepers are very comfortable. Sleepers do not like to be disturbed. Sleepers do not hear and or respond well. Sleepers are not aware of the needs of others around them. Sleepers get nothing done. You see, revival came. Revival's gone. Now what? Church, I am here to tell you today that revival is not over. It has only just begun. If you and I feel like revival is done and we feel like, well, revival is here and we planned a schedule and it's over, so, you know, now I could go back to Easter's over, so I guess my next service is going to be right around Christmas time, or maybe if the kids sing up on stage, then we'll get there, or, you know, if we don't have anything else going on, then let me just put it this way. You're dreaming today. You're asleep spiritually. If you and I feel like, okay, revival is this service, and we come in and we hear a trumpet, we hear some specials, we hear a choir sing, we have a guest speaker, and it's done, it's over, and whoo, we made it through. I guess until next year, boy, I'm just telling you, I'm glad I was able to make, you know, 50% of the services, maybe 30% of the services. I was here, yes, every night, and so, well, now I can take a break, friend. I'm here to tell you, this is the mindset of many Christians that live around the globe today. This is the condition of our churches. This is where we're at post-COVID. Is now we're not thinking of the gospel. Now we're not thinking of others. Now we're not thinking, hey, you know what? God could come back today. No, our mindset is still circled around. The world revolves around me and my family and my time and my dreams and my aspirations and what I want. And to be honest with you, preacher, if it fits that, you know, I can make it to church, well, then maybe I'll make it to church. But you know what? I just live a very busy life, and I was there for revival. So now that that's over, I'll be okay, friend. I'm just going to put it like this. Friend, it is time at Cross Point Baptist Church that we don't look to others. We don't look at other churches. We're not comparing ourselves to other families. It's time for you and I to wake up and realize that revival has just begun. Pastor Dan, we absolutely can have services like we had last week each and every Sunday. Amen. We've talked about it. Just because, Brother George, we met last week doesn't mean, well, it's over. Brother Mike, Brother Donnie, that doesn't mean our families come in and, well, we were there and we did our best, but now, you know, it's good just to come in and sit back and, well, we don't have to come every week now. And, oh, man, isn't it nice just kind of take a break? Monday night, Tuesday night, whew, Wednesday night is so much. School starting back, brother, I'll just be honest. Our kids didn't do any homework, and it's our teachers, you can tell they were tired. And well, it was good. Good to have it on the schedule. Till next year. What do you think, church? Next year, it'll be good. Who are you going to have in next year? How about we don't wait till next year? How about we have Jesus in each and every week? Amen. How about we not wait? How about we not just, well, okay, it was good to have the Lord's Supper, and it was good to pray on Wednesday nights. It was good to have Brother Schrock here, and you know, our family, boy, we just felt rejuvenated. And now, oh man, you know, we're just singing that last hymn, and you know, just I don't know. I surrender all. It was good for last week, but I don't know if I can sing it this week. Hey, church, let's just get to the nitty gritty for a moment. With that mentality, we wonder why the world is in the shape that it's in. Can I just tell you, friend, it's not, you ready for this? It's not Hollywood's fault. Yes, it is, because I get it. I've done my research, and I know. Well, did you hear about Starbucks? Target. Oh, Disney. Can I just tell you? It's not Disney's fault. It's not Starbucks. Yeah, but Nike, boy, I'm telling you, Nike came out and burned your shirts and because they came out with shoes and all. And we just jump on this bandwagon where, oh, it's their fault. Oh, it's their fault. Oh, well, let's get on it. It's their fault. Oh, it's their fault. Boy, it's this family's fault. They almost split the church in half. And it's their fault. And we start looking around. We just love to blame everybody, don't we? I hate to say it today. It's our fault. When God gave us the command in Matthew 28, go ye into all the world. Oh, we kind of forgot about that, didn't we? Little thing called COVID-19 hit. I don't know if you heard about it, but it was a pandemic last year. And boy, all of our concentration went to that, didn't it? We all became Facebook doctors. We all got scared. We all jumped on the bandwagon of, do we shut down? Do we not shut down? What about schools? What about this? I'm not knocking it at all. I believe that COVID-19 is a real thing, and it's hurt many lives, and many people have lost their lives. But I'm telling you this, friend, it does not give us the excuse to get out of getting out the gospel of Jesus Christ in this area. And unfortunately, instead of viewing a pandemic as an opportunity, a time for the church, you and I as God's people, the very bride of Jesus Christ, to get on fire for Him and to look at different ways that we can witness and we can soul win and we can get the good news out. It was a time, unfortunately, around the globe that we became recluses. We gave up on the gospel. We became concerned and scared. And friend, let me just put it this way. It doesn't matter what pandemic comes, and there'll be many more. It doesn't matter what storms you and I face in our life. There's still a God. He is still sitting on the throne. He is still in the saving business. And it doesn't matter what Hollywood says. It doesn't matter what corporations are doing. It doesn't matter what politics swinging back and forth or whether they cheated or not. It doesn't neglect you and I from getting the gospel out in the Marion County and surrounding this area. But here's what's happened. Now, I told you I haven't preached in a little while, so woo, hang in there for just a moment. Here's what's happened. We have become very apathetic spiritually. Grandparents? Don't, not the grandparents. Yeah, grandparents. I'm not there yet. I'll be there one day, one of these decades. But let me just put it this way. Grandparents, we need you to wake up. Now, I'm not talking about, some of you are like, oh, yeah, we're in church. I'm not talking about, I kind of like that one. That was good. Okay, I'm not talking about physically. I'm talking about spiritually. Let me put it this way. The Shepherd family needs DeFoes in our life. You say, well, are you saying Pastor Foe's sleeping? Nope, he's very awake. And let me tell you something. It wakes Carrie and I up. This generation doesn't need to look at the next generation, and that generation is encouraging this generation that it's all over. I should give up. Go ahead. Let me pull the covers up for you. Go to sleep. Because when you wake up, it's all over. No, we need a younger generation to look at an older generation, and that older generation encourage this generation that it has only just begun. I've said it many times. I appreciate an older generation. I love them. But you know, I didn't live in the 60s and the 70s. I didn't. I wasn't part of those revivals. I was a part of a conversation with Grandpa Clayton just about a month or so ago. And as an evangelist, Carrie's grandfather is now in his 80s, still traveling the globe. You know, he's talking about revivals and stuff. I said, Grandpa, I'll just be honest. There was a day and age where you really could entice a kid to jump on a bus for a piece of bubble gum. I mean, they were all, I mean, it was like 200 of them lined up. Oh, bubble gum, you know. You can't give away a PlayStation anymore to get a kid to come to church. I mean, seriously, the day and age we live. I was like, are you going to give away an iPhone 12? Because is it going to have 164 gig? Because I'm not going to be there. I mean, look, it's just a different generation to bring people in. But can I tell you, I'm not going to get discouraged. Why? Because my God still reigns. He still saves. And although we didn't live in the 60s and 70s and 80s, I am thankful for, well, the foundation that has been laid. But we don't need grandparents giving up on grandkids or giving up on those who come to Cross Point, to school here. No, what we need is an older generation lifting, looking back and saying, don't you fall asleep right now. Don't you give up on Wednesday night services. Don't you give up in reading your Bible. Don't you give up on your marriage. Don't you give up on that teenager. You'll see your fair share of storms. You're going to come through. You're going to be okay. Why? Because Jesus Christ is still living, friend. Still living. Now let me put it this way. Okay, maybe you're not a grandparent. So how about those who aren't of the hoary head crowd? Why don't we stop acting like it's all over? I'm going to put it super clear. For those who are millennials or maybe a little bit older, maybe a little bit younger, maybe Gen X, whatever, Gen Z, whatever part of generation you are, there is so much more to life than YouTube, friend. I don't know. I spend 3 hours a day. Yeah, I get it. And I'll be honest with you. It's why our world is really lost and dying and going to hell. Because there's a younger generation that is asleep. And it's not us saying, well, fine, we'll wake up. Pastor Defoe, could you stand up for just a moment here? Can I just use you for just a second? It's not my generation saying this. Well, okay, we got to wake up. So to be honest with you, Pastor, thank you so much for your service. You can sit down there. Okay, now go to sleep. You did a good job. See you later, friend. Pastor Defoe's like, amen. No, I'm just joking. It's our generation. Encouraging each other. Amen. Pastor Foe, we need you. And Pastor Foe saying, Pastor Shepherd, we need you. Yes. See, it's so funny. I promise you, I've not even gotten to point one. Does that not absolutely scare you to death? Because it sure does me. I just got sweaty thinking about it. Like, Kerry wrote a great sermon. I haven't got to it yet. Okay. There has to be a thought process for everyone in this room and everyone in this room that we do not look at revival as if it's over. It's not. It's just begun. Excuse me. It started and it was just a little spark. Now we got to fan the flame. We got to let it spread. Folks, this place is packed this morning. To be honest with you, I mean, it's very full. I don't know why, Pastor Chris, we always have this front row open. It's just always, my wife won't even sit up here. My family will not sit up here. I asked Tommy, I said, why don't you sit on the front row? He said, you spit too much. I was like, well, good for you, but I don't blame you there, but I'm not preaching in a mask, okay? Because I'm just telling you, I'd be a little bit tough. We got room up here. Pastor Foe, how do we fill this front row? But Jim, how are we going to fill up here and right here? In two spots right there, spot right there. Sorry, you're going to have to move your coat. We need that chair. We got some room in the overflow today. Well, what do we do if we get too full? Well, kind of last week, got 40 chairs up here. We got room up here, put some chairs. We'll put, Pastor Dan, do we count? Another 90 chairs can go in there if we put a monitor up. Got another 90 chairs we can put there. What do we do after that? We'll tie some ropes to some chairs and just start wheeling them up. Hang on, brother. Let's fill it up. You can't do that. You can't do that with the preaching that you do. You can't fill up a place with the music that you have. You're never going to be able to. Excuse me, friend. We're not going on a preacher. We're not going on music. You know what we're going by is the gospel of Jesus Christ. And it hasn't changed. Proclaim it. Friend, I'm asking us today. Now, I know I haven't got to the first point, so don't panic on me. Look, here's where we're going to end. You say, oh, my word, we're going to end right here. Amazing. Yes, isn't that amazing? But let me just put it this way. I want us to wake up. Brother Josh, how do we do it? I really feel like, Brother Jim, it's us asking God to continue to revive us here, to wake us up. I'm asking us, Pastor Blake, to get our families and to get to an altar or to sit or kneel in a pew and ask God, revive us. Say, Pastor, why are you so concerned about reviving us at Crosspoint? You just want to fill up these pews? Who doesn't? Who doesn't? Well, you just want everybody to be saved. Yes. It's amazing. Jesus didn't come to start a country club at 220 Country Club Drive. He said, I come to seek and to save that which is lost. And if you and I take on the mind of Christ, that's going to be our mind. Every soul up here at Kroger needs the gospel of Jesus Christ. Every soul down at the BP and Shell station, they need Jesus Christ. Every politician here that is just out of their mind right now with some of these laws they're trying to pass, do we need to vote right? Yes. Do we need to write letters? Absolutely. Should we make phone calls? Yes, it is our American right. But I'm here to tell you, friend, what they need more than a phone call or a letter or a nasty email, you know what they need? They need the blood of Jesus Christ that was shed for their sin. They need Him, friend. Why are they going to get it? I'll tell you how. By hearing about a place over there on 25 acres. If you're taking a left turn, it's kind of hard to get in at sometimes, but they want to hear of a place right here at Cross Point Baptist Church that they kind of seem like, I mean, super excited about Jesus. Grandparents, are we going to be excited about Jesus? Young people, are we going to be excited about Jesus? Where does it start? Well, I think it ought to start with our deacons. You know, when I see our deacons, wrong. Well, my Sunday school teacher, I don't know. I'm questioning, wrong. Well, when the person in my row, wrong, wrong, wrong. Yours starts right here with us. It's me saying, come on, Kara, come on, Tommy, come on, Lois. Let's get up here and let's pray for revival. Well, it's over. Wrong. You missed it. Behold, awake. We're wide awake. We're ready. We're not calling out, hey, bring it on, Satan. No, we've talked about that before. Satan's already bringing it on. And to be honest with you, if you look around, kind of seems like he's winning. But when Jesus cried out, it is finished, we already know the end of the story. We win, friend. Wake up. Revival's over. Now what? No. It has only just begun.